is Baba Kama, Daf Tzadi Tes 99, as we continue here in Perek HaGozel Eitzim in Mesechus Baba Kama, as we head towards HaGozel Uma Achil, the last two prakim, as we get into the last 3 weeks. Really, today starts the last 3 weeks of the Mesechta, as this Mesechta has 121 daf or so here as we reach the highlights. Really, the whole Mesechta are highlights, but let's try to find some more highlights today on the daf as we get into another Shas topic. Today's daf is dedicated to Uman Kone B'Shvach Kli, another topic that has come up a little bit, but here is one of the main areas where it comes up. Says the Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Ches Amid Beis, Nasan Lu'umnin L'Sakein. Somebody gives to a worker, to a craftsman, something in order to fix. Not clear yet in the Reisha, did he give raw materials in order to make something, or did he give a ready-made chair that is broken, that needs to be fixed? But something was given to the Uman L'Sakein, V'Kilkalo, and he ruined it. He messed up. Chayavin l'shalim, so he has to pay for it. If a new one messes up, so he has to pay for it. Nasan l'charash shida teva umigdal l'sakein. Somebody gives to a carpenter some type of already made kli. Here it's explicit. Shida, some type of box to sit on. Teva umigdal l'sakein v'kilkal chayavin l'shalim. These cases, the worker has to pay for it. Vahabanai Shakiba Olav Lasaras Akosel, a builder that accepted upon himself that was supposed to, was a kablan, to break down a wall. Vashiber Avanim, and he broke some of the stones of the wall. He was supposed to take apart the wall, but instead he broke things that he wasn't supposed to have broken. Oshe Yizikon, or he damaged them. Chayav L'shalim, he has to pay for them. The Gemara will talk about exactly what the conditions are. Hayasoser mitzazeh v'dafo mitzaracher. But if he was breaking the wall from one side and somehow stones fell on the other side and damaged on the other side, pater is pater. The case must be talking about, says the Shidu B'Kubetz, is a case of ones, where this was an unexpected part of breaking down the wall. If he would have known about it, it's nothing to talk about. He's supposed to know about it, then this is part of breaking the wall. You have to go to the other side. But it must be a case where it was really an ones, says the Shita. Klomar, v'lo machmas pshia, ela machmas ones. Shahaya saver, shahaya yachalamu, tzad sheni, below zeh. He thought that this other side would be supported without what he's breaking down. Pater da anusu, because that is called an ones. Interesting. Let's think for a second. This is called an ones. This is Adam Hamazik. Right, this is a man doing damage, and is doing damage on, you know, other people. So, is there a pter ones by Adam? So let's remember the machlokas we discussed months ago, right, back in the third parak, back on Daf Chav Zayin and Daf Chav Ches, in those areas where we discussed the Mishnah of Adam Muad La'olam. An Adam is always a Muad, right? What the Gemara say there? Bein ba'ones, bein b'shogeg, bein b'ratzon, right, the Gemara Daf, the Mishnah. First, the Mishnah we had on Daf Chav Ches, the previous Chavav Aban Aleph, Adam Mu'ala Olam, Bein Shogi, Bein Mezid, Bein Ar, Bein Yashin, V'chulu, and the Gemara continued on Chavav Mabez, Al Ha'ones Karatzon. So, what do you mean here? Why aren't you chayev here? So, we have to relate to that machlok as we discussed then between Tosfos and the Ramban. Tosfos there, Tosfos on Chav Zayin Amid Beis. Tosfos says that even by Adam HaMazik, there are extensions and maybe limitations. Says Tosfos, there, that you're pater even on an ones gamur by Adam HaMazik. Ava ba'ones, nira da Adam HaMazik chayef di efsher lomer shal yischayef ela b'pshia, v'chulu, but Tosfos, I'm sorry, I read the wrong line. Tosfos says, aval hacha sheniskal machmas mechsho v'lo iboile yune anusu, v'yavagav delel marbinan ones karasan v'adam HaMazik v'pesadachas patsa, ones gamur lo Rabbi Rachmana. Tosfos the Shita is, even though Adam Mu'ala Olam by Noni's Gamur, even Adam HaMazik is Pater. That is Tosfos the Shita, and the Ramban not here, the Ramban in Bamatzia da Pebes argues, Yechaim, even on Noni's Gamur. And there are Gemaras on both sides of the issue. So this Mishnah, and that's, they each have to reread all the other sources that don't fit into their opinion, as we discussed then. So here too, here we have a case of Pasha's Ones. Sounds like Ones Gamur, right? You wouldn't have known about it. But if you're putters, that's how even Adam HaMazik has the type of ptur, so you have to figure out exactly how the Ramban would read this Mishnah. Right? We'll have to maybe talk about it a little bit later, where we'll get up to a similar line. The last part of the Mishnah, v'imach was hamaka pater. But if it fell because of the maka, and you should have known better, continue that same piece in the Shidim Kubetzes, v'imach was hamaka klomar, shayamaka bepatish b'kol kocho. He's banging with a hammer, with all his koach. V'nis nadneid ha-kosel machwas hamaka, and the wall starts shaking because of the hit. Chayiv to kamaza gomer chashiv velo grama ba'almahu, because he's kizir to maza gomer, right? He's not kizir to grama to call davar habami kocho begufo dami. Right, so that's considered direct. Where there was some other involvement. But this is called direct, and therefore he is chayav. That's Rabbeinu Yehonah's son in the Shita, helping us understand the Mishnah. Ones versus Pshia, and again, having to relate back to the earlier Machlokas Rishonim, which we discussed. Okay, so this has to do with giving something to a craftsman. Remember, when it comes to craftsmen, we pay them for the results. We don't pay them for their work. Who made that line, that idea famous? The Chafetz Chaim. Right? Well, we say at a Siyim. We're Shloshim Yom Bez Hashem Lefnei HaSiyim. So we can mention this thought of the Chafetz Chaim. Probably the most common thought that's said by Siyim. Anu Amelam Ahem Amelam. Gemara and Brachas also. Anu Amelam Mekalam Schar Vehem Amelam Vehem Mekalam Schar. We work and get Schar for it, and they work and they don't get Schar for it. Ask the Chafetz Chaim. Yes, they do. They get paid. Everybody gets paid. Not just people who are Amelam Batorah. So the Chafetz Chaim very famously says, no, anu amelum akalam schar, we get schar for the amelus. What's the goal? The goal is the work itself. It's not the result. Okay, that's a product that a person becomes a Talmud Chacham. A person becomes knowledgeable in Torah. But it's the work itself that is the ultimate schar, and in and of itself, nothing more is needed. Unlike a shoemaker, where if he doesn't fix my shoes, he can spend all the time in the world. If he doesn't fix it, I'm not going to pay for it. It goes by the result. So here too, uman, nasan lu, I gave it to the uman. It doesn't matter if he put in a lot of time. If at the end of the day he broke it, the other day he ruined it, I'm not going to pay for it. And not only that, he's going to be responsible to pay me for ruining it, right, if it was worth more than when he started. So that's anu amelam ahem amelam, relates to our Mishnah as well. Okay, Amar Rav Asi, says Rav Asi, lo shanu, when do we say in our Mishnah that if he ruins it, he's going to have to pay for it? Ela shenasan lacharash shida tevo migdal lena'etz bohen masmer. Rav Asi basically quotes the second line of the Mishnah in explaining the first line of the Mishnah. Right? When do we say that he's going to be chayiv? That's when you gave a ready-made kli to put a nail in, to fix. V'no'atz bohen masmer, you put a nail in, v'shibron, and he broke it. Aval nasan lacharash eitzim la'as o shida tevo migdal. But if I gave raw materials to the person, to the uman involved, I didn't give him a kli, I gave him wood. He's going to take that wood and fashion it into a kli. Va'asam and shida tevo migdal, and he did it. He made it into a kli, and then it broke. V'shibron pater, then he is pater for the kli, meaning he's only chayef to pay me back for the raw materials. But let's say once it's made into a chair, it's worth more. He does not have to pay me for the chair. He only has to pay me for the raw materials. Why? My time up. Uman kone b'shvach kli. A craftsman is kone in the appreciation of the kli that he created. Meaning when somebody creates something, he comes somewhat of a bialim on what he created. It's his handiwork, and therefore he becomes a bialim. And therefore in our case, the uman was kone it. And that's why he's not going to have to pay for it. When he, and this is the most extreme formulation of this principle, but Rashi says it on the next daf, and that's the simple understanding of the Gemara that we'll see. What does it mean? Uman kone b'shvach kli, fitting it into our Gemara here. So when the uman gives it back to the person who hired him, it's as if he's selling it back to him. And when I pay him for his wages, when I pay him for his services, it's as if I'm buying it. It's as if that's d'mei mechira, and he's selling it back to, it was never mine. So he doesn't have to pay for it. He made it. It was his. I own the raw materials. I didn't own the kli, and therefore that's why he's going to be. That's why he's going to own it. The Shidim Kubetzes here has a might be a mashal, not exactly the same exact idea, but he says it's similar to a shinui maisa, right? Just like a shinui, if a gazlan steals something and is b'shana it, it's no longer shalabailim. The bailim never had this, and therefore I only have to pay for what it was previously. So too, by Unakona Bishvakli, similar idea, says the Shita, quoting here again Rabbeinu Yehonasan. Klomar, Shalo Asa Bo Ha'umad Shum Shvach, Shenu, this is if you gave him the Shita table Migdal. So he's saying the opposite, but we see from the opposite what the Shita is. If you gave him a Kli and he's only fixing it, Lo Asa Bo Ha'umad Shum Shvach, Shenucha Lomar Shekna'o B'Shinui Maisa. Shinui Maisa, that's a Goslin term. What's he using that for? But it's a parallel. You've changed the item. Remember, if it fits in, I'll say it this way. We've said two approaches to the idea of Shinui Maisa over the past couple of weeks. Is Shinui Maisa really your Mishana it? It's an action that causes a Kinyan. Or does Shinui Maisa mean it's just a different item? And if it's a different item, that removes the Chovas HaShava, Memela Amkona it, through taking it in the first place. The Kinyani Geneva are fully allowed to kick in. We discussed that at length in the seventh parak, in this parak. So this comparison fits very nicely and much better according to this other approach. The latter one, because he wasn't Mishan, we're not a Goslin here, he made it into a different item. So if that's the root of Shinui Maisa, then the comparison is understandable. So again, let's read it. Klomar, Shelo asa bo ha'uman shum shavach, shenucha lomar shekinao b'Shinui Maisa, shahare asuyin u'misukanim hayu b'tchila. It was already a kli. U'kishem shekilkel teva chashuva u'me'ula, shenasem balabayis b'yoga chayav l'shalan t'vei teva ma'alya. And just like he gave me a fancy thing, I have to pay for it if I ruin it. But if I carved out, if I actively did something, ishtakich de kna'on b'shinui maisa. And again, what does that mean? There's no gospel. The Shinui Maisa is by a Geneva context. It means it's a new item. Shari oso shevach ha'uman asa'o u'kna'obo. That is the focus. He doesn't use any words like I just mentioned right beforehand that Rashi's going to use on the next daf. It's like a mechira, and he sells it back. It's not. It's a different focus. Different focus. Do you focus on the Shinui Maisa elements? It's a different item, or do you focus on it's as if I created it, so I am selling it. I am selling it back. That's what it sounds like. Uman Kona. Uman Kona Bishvakli. The Ksos also discusses this. So yeah, the Ksos, you got one source in the acronym related to Uman Kona Bishvakli. You can look in the Ksos in Simon Shin Vav Siv Dalid, where the Ksos talks about two points. Number one, Machlokas Rishonim that he presents, when we're saying Uman Kona Bishvakli, is, and this might relate to what we just discussed. Does that mean only the Shvach is Nikne, or the whole Kli? Uman Kona Bishvakli. Doesn't say umakona shvachli. Does he just own the appreciated value of what he has created, or he owns that everything? Bahadu umakona b'shvachli chakar im eino ela b'shivcha hu tekone avalo begufakli o neima daidei shvach zoche begufakli lios kishelo kivan shenis hapech chomer hakli el hatsura asher nasan v'lochein kone begufakli v'hela tekone begufakli. Quotes from the Maharash Halevi. That he's Kone Begufakli, and he quotes Raya's. What's his Raya? Hilchas Tvilas Kalim. If I gave the raw materials to a guy, and the guy made it, then I have to do Tvila. If I gave it to repair, I don't have to do Tvila again. If it's a Kli, that requires Tvila. But if not, it requires Tvila. Tvila? What do you mean? So the answer is, if he's really Kone it, sounds like the language we use of Rashi, he gives it back to me. But it sounds like, and he quotes this from Rashi also, and that's why there would be an issue possibly of a tefillah. And then he quotes other sources as well. And then he quotes in the second half of the piece his own chakira. Ukishelohu my isle labalabayas by shivcha, vech the shavach shava yosem in the base chiris, hecha mesalik le balabayas bepachos midamav. Is he mamish? Is it mamish? Literally, kinyan? Veimishum, which he said it sounds like, veimishum the kvarkana mimeno balabayas bepsika, bepshapasaklo, abra shavach, havi darishlo balaolam. Vein chozer v'konim v'alabayis. He says, how literal do you take it? V'lochei niral achara iyun, devadei ha'yshivcha devalabayisu. V'hadu makonim shvakli, eino kinyin gomer lios kishalom amish. He says, don't take it as literally as you would have thought. Ela ksas kinyin hu, de'isle begavei l'kidushe isha. It's a kinyan, but it's not a full mamish dini mamanis kinyan. Meaning, they both have rights in it to, what's always the litmus test, to be mekadesh and isha. Could the worker be mekadesh and isha? Says the ksos, yes. But if he can, he said, and that's ksas kinyan. That's a big chiddush to say that's only a ksas kinyan. Usually you need a full kinyan, but that's what he says. But the lovik can take it back. He compares it, interesting comparison, to a mashkon. If I give you a collateral, Rabbi Yitzchak says, Balchov kone mashkon. Machlok has been shown him how deep that kinyan is. But that's also a kinyan of something that is earmarked, it's really mine, but I give it to you for a certain amount of time and you're going to give it back. That's the usual way things work. So that's raw materials given to a worker who's going to give it back to me, and that's a collateral of a love who's going to give it back to the malve, who's going to give it back to the love. So that's an interesting comparison, but that's another idea. Finally, and then we will continue, this is all just the background to the whole sugya, Rav Soloveitchik, use this in more of the hashkafic realm. If you look in the English Drashas Harav, put out a couple years ago, so he quotes the Yerushalmi and Maestris in Perek Aleph, that if somebody is Zoreya in a stay hefker, he's Chayev in Shumas and Maestris. And he discusses, although the person who reaped the produce of this field had no intention of acquiring the field itself, the produce belongs to him, along with all obligations associated with such ownership, because of the principle of Uman Kone Bishvakli. And then he quotes from Tehillim, Lashem Aretz Umloa, Teva V'yoshveva. Why? Everything belongs to Hashem. Why? Ki hu al yamim yisada v'al naharos yichoneneha. Because he created it. The David suggested that by virtue of having created the world, God became owner in the full legal sense. And then he looks at the halachic construct. He quotes, Baba Kama Tzadiches, Arasugya. And then he says, though there is a difference of opinion regarding a human craftsman, when discussing the creator of the world, there is no controversy. And everybody agrees. Uma kone b'shvakli, Kadosh Baruch Hu is kone shamayim v'aretz. In that realm. And then he talks about parents and children, expounded by the idea of applying it to our own personal lives. Is there anything on earth over which we assert proprietary rights more than our own children? Yet even this is a misconception. Our children, in fact, belong to God alone. Right, Kadosh Baruch, right, he quotes by Shmuel, and Chana Chavim gave, why is he called Shmuel? Ki Shayel Tihu Me Hashem. Interesting connection between Shaul and Shmuel. But it's really from Kadosh Baruch Hu, right? And the fact that even children do not truly belong to their parents, places out of the Medrash, which we're not going to get to now, Rabbi Meir and Bruria and giving back the jewels. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara. We did a couple of lines. Let's try to do a little more. Tanan. So we mentioned that if somebody is chone b'shvakli, he still has to pay back for the raw materials. Tanan, but is that really true? Is our Mishnah based on that? You explained, Rav Asi, the second line of the Mishnah. What about the first line of the Mishnah? Tanan, nasan lo ubnin v'kilka lo chayavan l'shalim. If I gave a worker and he ruined it. So what's the first line of the Mishnah talking about? He has to pay. So my lav diavlu ate him. Isn't that talking about I gave him wood? And it still says he has to pay back for the kli, which would seem that even if he makes it into a kli, he has to pay for the kli. You don't say umakona b'shava kli. Says the Gemara, lo. No, the Reish is talking about shida tevo migdal. You gave him the whole kli. Says the Gemara, hami tiktani seifa shida tevo migdal. V'chada Reish eats him. The second line of the Mishnah says you gave him a whole kli. So doesn't that mean the first line of the Mishnah means you gave him the raw materials and then he fashioned it? Kashan Ravasi? No. Amri Pirushi Kama Farishla. Really, the second line of the Mishnah is explaining the first line of the Mishnah. Ketzad Nasan Luumanim Litzakein Vekilka Lo Chayavim L'Shalim Kigon Shenasan Lacharash Shida Teva Umigdal. So the second line explains the first line. Says the Mikamara also Hachanami Mistavra. This also makes sense. Diketzak Tani. It makes sense to understand the Mishnah as the second line explaining the first line. Why? If you say the first line of the Mishnah is about raw materials, so hashtash minan eitzim chayav and l'shalim v'loar minan umakona b'shvah kleilim. Then if you say the ratio is talking about raw materials, and in that case the uman has to pay for what he did for the kli, would there be any chiddush to say in the case where you gave an entire kli? No, that wouldn't be mechudesh at all. So it must be, says the Gemara, that the second line is explaining the first line. Says the Gemara, that last point can be knocked out. Imi shumha lo arya. No, if you're basing your argument on that last point, that's no proof. Why? Tana seifa legaluya reisha. It could be that the seifa is being megale, that the reisha is a different case. Why? Shelo tomar, if I would have only had the first line of the Mishnah, I might have limited its scope. Shelo tomar, reisha shida tevo migdal. The reisha is talking about where you gave a kli, a whole box or an aron, aval eight simlo. But raw materials, you wouldn't say that. You would say uman kone bishva kli. Tana seifa, shida tevo migdal. That's why it says the case of kli in the second line. Mechlad reisha eitzim, to prove to me that the first line is about the raw materials. V'afilu hachi chayav l'shalim. And still he'd have to pay for the kli, because ein uman kona b'shva kli. So we end up saying that the Mishnah is not a raya. The language of the Mishnah is not a raya to Rav Asi, but it's also not a kasha. You can understand the Mishnah as the second line explaining the first line. It's all one case, but in a chinami. If the Bauha materials gave the materials to the artisan and he fashioned it, he ruined it, he would only have to pay for the raw materials, not the kli, because uman kona bishva kli. So it's no raya and it's no kasha. So let's try other sources. Lema b'sayale. Let's try to prove it from the Mishnah later on Daf Kuf. Hanos in Samar Letzaba. If somebody gives wool to a dyer, and Danny, how do you make dye? How do you color wool? You put the wool into a big pot on a fire, and you warm it up, and slowly the wool is collate, absorbs the color. But what happened here? He messed up. He burned it. V'gdichu yore. So he ruined it. So what's the halacha? No sein lo demei tzimro. So he has to pay for the value of the wool that he ruined. So we're medayik from that Mishnah. Demei tzimro in, he has to pay for the value of the wool, demei tzimro v'shifchalo. But what if he had made colorful wool, beautiful, and then ruined it? So the Mishnah does not say that he has to pay for that. He only has to pay for the materials. So, lav shehekdicho la'achar nefila, isn't this Mishnah talking about where he ruined it after the dye has already gone into the wool? De'ika shifcha, there's appreciated value to this wool now. And the Mishnah still only says, b'shva mina uman kona b'shva kli, and the Mishnah says you only pay for the raw materials. So isn't that a raya to Rav Asi? If our Mishnah is not a raya, maybe the next Mishnah is? No. Amar Shmuel, no raya, hachamay eskinon, kugon shekdicho b'shas nefila. Like a shivcha. No, he ruined it right away. Before it changed. Before it became colored wool. So therefore this Mishnah is not relevant to our case. But one second, so if we would be medayik from that Mishnah, maybe it would be just the opposite. But if it would be burned after it became colored wool, that should be the diak of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is about a case where he ruined it before it became anything good. But after it became anything good, you would pay. So then, lema Shmuel less later Rav Asi. So if that's how Shmuel understands the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is specifically before it became colored dye, then the Mishnah would be mashba, that after it became color dye, then you would pay Dmei Tzimro v'Shivcho, and does that mean that Shmuel argues on Rav Asi? Right? Because Shmuel would say that Uman is not Kona B'Shva Kli, right? And the whole thing belongs to the Baal HaBayis, and now you ruin the Baal HaBayis' Kli, and that's why you even have to pay for the Shevach? So the Gemara says, no, you don't have to say that, and the Pnei Yeshua here points out that it's somewhat unusual. The Gemara commonly, when the Gemara rejects a proof, it doesn't go to the other extreme and say, oh, so he must argue. He's just deflecting the proof. He's just saying, no proof in the Mishnah. Oh, does he argue then? So Ben Yeshua points out that it's unusual, this type of Shakla Vitaria, and he goes to try to come up with a Svara why. But either way, we'll just focus on the Gemara. So the Gemara says, so does Shmuel then argue on Rav Asi? So Gemara says, no, Amalecha Shmuel, Hachamayaskinan, Kigon Tzemer V'Samanim Deval HaBayis. Maybe everything involved belongs to the Baal HaBayis. Usually when you have a craftsman, you give him some raw materials, he uses his own tools, his own other materials that he needs in order to fashion the kli. But here, everything belonged to the Baal HaBayis. The tzemer and the dye with the Baal HaBayis. V'tzava agar yadehu deshakel. So in this case, even if you would hold generally that Rashi says, uman kona b'shva kli, you wouldn't say that here, because everything here belongs to the Baal HaBayis. Look at the third skinny line in Rashi. To haleka lemeimer umran kona b'shvach kli. To samonim hu demishab chile. It's the dye that is causing the shevach. Vitzava schir ba'amuhu. So the sachir, does he hammer, does he knock, does he carve? No. He puts the dye and the wool into the pot. That's it. So what's causing the change? It's the dye. The dye belongs to the wool owner also. So there, everybody would agree, ain't uman kona b'shvach kli. Vade uman shasamanim shelo kunim vitzavas chibalma. Vade uman shamanim shelo kunim shakli vimishamal de made simro. Meaning, the Gemara says Shmuel doesn't have to argue under Vasi. The case here, everybody would agree to. But otherwise, it could be that Ravasi is correct. Says the Gemara Ihachi, if that's true, so why does the Mishnah only say hanosin semer vitzava? Iachi no sein lo demate simro v'samanim ibayle. And when the Mishnah continues, it says he has to pay demate simro. It should be that he has to pay both. Ella Shmuel dechui kamadchile. Shmuel is just taking a different stance from whenever you want to say the Mishnah says. You want to say the Mishnah says A. Shmuel says no. The Mishnah might say B. You want to say B. The Mishnah might say A. This is not a proof. It's not a proof. And that's how Gemara would have ended three lines ago. The Pnei Yeshua goes through, why do we have these last four lines, which is more unusual than general shaklavataria of this type. Okay, let's continue Tashma. Try to bring another proof to Rav Asi. Hanos ein taliso l'uman. Somebody gives his talis to an uman to work on his garment, gumro v'hodio. He let him know. He finished it. But he didn't give it to him. He didn't give the talis, the beged, back to the owner. He just called him up. He sent him a letter that it's finished. Afilu mikan v'adasar yamim. Even for 10 days. Eino over alav, the person, if he does not pay for it, he does not violate the iser of not paying your worker on time. Mishum bal talin. Lo talin. He does not violate, because until he gets the beged back, he's ultimately not chayiv to pay. Maybe there's some type of chiv, but the chiv is not chal yet. From the time that you finish. Doesn't have to pay yet until he gives it back. But nasna lo, and similar to Rabbi Yohanan, interesting to what he said before, says it's like a mashkon. Right, so too here. It's like he has it, but he doesn't have to give it back yet. Nasna lo b'chatzi hayom, but if the worker gives it back even in the middle of the day, kivan sheshaka alavachama, when shkia comes, over lo mishum baltalin. Then you violate. There's a mitzvah sasei, biyomotitin schar, and a mitzvah lo sasei, of not paying workers on time. So this is the source from Masechet Bamitzia. So if he gives it back, right, I have to pay back that day. But if he doesn't give it back, even though he finished everything, I don't violate. Why not? And if you say that an uman is kone mishum shvakli, so now it's his, and now he finishes, and he's giving it back, am I over mishum baltalin? Right? Why would you violate baltalin in this case? One shakal of chama. It's a sale. It's not a worker anymore. Maybe the isra of baltalin should only apply not in the cases where you didn't create something. You're raking my yard. So that's where you'd have to pay on time. Or any other type of umanut that doesn't change something. But maybe, as is Gemara, because of the principle of uman kona b'shvach kli, there should never be an isra baltalin there. Because it's a relationship that has turned into a mocher kona, not a maskir socher. Rashi says this. Rashi says, am I over? And here's the lashon that I was alluding to before. Hazivune kamazvin le nihale. He's selling the kli back to him in halachic terms. Velo schirasi. So what do you get a dish is about talin? Even if he's giving it back to you. Right here, and this is a case where he gives him the talis. Amar of Mari Braidra of Kana, what could be an answer? Maybe that's not a case where he made the kli. Begadet the sarbala, the leka shivcha. Maybe he's talking about a type of improvement that doesn't really improve. He like let out the hem. He did something with the threads. So there is no shvach, but in a chinami. At this point, the Gemara assumes there would never be an isra of baltalin by a case where an uman creates a new item. Says the Gemara, one second, but even in that case of the threads, he's giving it to you, obviously, to improve it. He's giving it to you to soften the threads, right? The fancy weaving part of the process. Doesn't that improve it? when he softens the thread, he does this process. So it still is a case of shvach. So if you say umakona b'shvachli, you should say that there is no isser of altalin. Answer, lo tzricha d'agre lebitche. No, the cases where he gave it to him to soften, but how are you going to soften it? You like stamp on it. So stamping on it does not improve. It does something important to make the threads, you know, be a little more separated, which is what he wants, but it's not really shvach that can be measured. So da'agri lebitche, bitche bima'asa, hainu schiris. So each stamp, each stomping, is a ma'a, is worth a ma'a, and therefore this is schiris. So you're paying more for the ma'isa than for the result. And in a chinami, the Gemara ends up saying at this point, l'Rav Asi, if you hold umakona b'shvakli, that there wouldn't be any issue of baltalin withholding payment, because you're paying for services. Baltalin is when you pay for services, not when you buy an item. And if you create an item, that's considered a sale in halachic terms, not a schirus, and therefore, right, there's a pasuk in Chumash, you have to say it applies somewhere, right? So therefore, that's what the Gemara assumes now. Good, continuing. Says, and that's how, again, Rashi has the lashon, when you jump on it, schir yomhu, velo kablon de liknei b'shivcha. You're a hired hand. You're not someone who acquires it through shevach. Weiter. Says the Gemara, ulamai de salaka daitin meikara, but getting back to what we thought earlier a couple of lines ago, delo agri lebitche, that he didn't hire him to stomp on it, but he hired him to fix his beged, so messiah le Rav Sheshes. So wouldn't this be a riot to Rav Sheshes? To bole minei me Rav Sheshes, they asked, the Talmidim asked Rav Sheshes, kablonus. Kablonus is when we are paid for a result, right? Not for the job, right? This comes up at Lent and Bar Mitzvah, different types of hired workers. Kablonus, over alav yishum baltalin o'eina over. Do you violate baltalin or not for kablonus? Amar Rav Sheshes over. So Rav Sheshes says you violate, even though kablonus is for the result. So that was the Havamina. The Havamina in our Gemara, we said, according to our Havamina, where Batalon should apply even to a case where you're paying for the result for the Kli. So Rav Ashi would say over there. So the Gemara says, Rav Sheshes. So Lamer the Rav Sheshes Poliga the Rav Asi. So is this a Machlokas? Right, Rav Asi, who says Umakona Bishvah Kli, would say there's no Isser Batalon by kablonus, by a case where the Kli was created. While Rav Sheshes would say, there is. You don't have to say there's a machlokas. Maybe the case over there that was under discussion by Rav Sheshes is v'shlicha de'igrisa, which we would call a mailman. Right, a shliach just to bring a letter. So again, there wasn't a change there. You paid for the whole process, but there wasn't a change there. It's a kablonis. You didn't hire him for the day, but you hired him to do a job. Maybe that's the kablonis that Rav Sheshes was talking about, and Rav Asi would agree to that, because there was nothing created. But in a chinami, it could be that everybody would agree, if everybody would agree, uman kone b'shvakli, then there wouldn't be any Isser of Baltalin. And we mentioned, I think, in a Parsha Shir recently, the thought of the Baalei Musar. Well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also must hold of the Torah, right? That's a halachic assumption, but assuming HaKadosh Baruch Hu is held hostage to the laws in which he created, so how could it be that there's no schar mitzvah ba'olam hazeh? Right, that's not fair. We do a mitzvah today, I should get paid on time. The Isra Baltalin. Well, Solon, right, you're not allowed to be omoti tain scharo. So the answer given is that, like our Gemara says, there's a difference between a schir yom and a kablon. A schir yom has to be paid every day, but a kablon doesn't. A kablon is paid for a job, like we just said, the mailman. The mailman is paid to get the job done. So that's when the job is done. Then the chiyuv kicks in. So when is our job done? We're not paid to do a mitzvah each day. We're paid to do a job for our life. And after 120 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the package of our life and sees, Be'ezus Hashem, if we fulfilled the potential that each of us had, given the package and the pekel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, HaKol Bidei Shemayim Chutz Me'Yirat Shemayim, everything that was given to us. So that's why, after 120, that's when it's due. It's not due before then. And therefore, it is, it's different. It's like a kablan, not a schir yom. Good. Lema kitanoi. Let's say that this issue of unakon b'shvakli is really a machlokas tanoim. Here we go. Aseli Shirayim Nizamim Vitabos. Va'akadesh Lecha. A woman gives him uman, an artisan, gives him jewelry, gives him shirayim, which are anklets, bracelets of the ankle, nizamim, tabos, rings, v'akadosh lecha. She gives him, and then basically she says, I'm going to owe you money for this service. You know what? I'll keep that, and that'll be the kiddushin money that you're giving me. So I'll be married to you through giving you. And the Achronim say there must have been, even though the Gemara doesn't say it, there must have been an Amira Mitzat Habal here. Because we know, the Gemara says in the first paragraph of Kiddushin, there has to be some type of Amira from the Baal to the Isha. So there must have been. So simply, Shirayim and Nizam, the Ksos says that. There must have been the Ksos in the Avnei Miluim. So, does that work? Kivan Shasan, Mekudeshes, Dibre B'Meir, Meir says it works. Once they were made, once the jewelry was made, it works. Mikudeshes. V'chachamim omrim, and the chachamim say, no. Eina mikudeshes ashi yegiyem amon liyada. Chachamim say, no, it's not mikudeshes until the money reaches her hand. Which money? What money are we talking about? There's two possibilities. The money meaning the items. The items have to be given back. Or are the chachamim saying this whole thing doesn't work? He has to give her extra money from his own pocket. Unclear what the chachamim mean. So my mamon. Ilema oso mamon. Does that mean this, the jewelry itself, when he gives her back the jewelry? It can't mean nothing. It can't mean that with the service, well, you still have it, because he has to give her something. Does it mean the items themselves? That's what the Chachamim say. And the Chachamim say once she has the items, it works. Then what does Rabbi Meir say? Mechadra a Meir suffer oso mamon lo, even without the mamon. Elba my mikdasha. So what would the Kiddushin be through then if he doesn't give her anything? Stop there for a second, look at Tosas right here. Elba my mikdasha. Omeri de svarahu. She'ein mukudeshes b'mashe mocha lo scharo. It's a svara, says Tosas, that just being mochel on the money that I owe you is not going to be good enough. What is that like? Milve. Mekadish b'milva, eina mekudeshes. That's what the Gemara is going to say about Hashem soon. But just the Tosfos says, it's obvious that just being mochel is not going to work. Afilu lo yehi uman kona b'shvakli. Ela milva yeshtol, it's still not going to work. Skip a line. Shein daita l'skadish eshi yovo hashirayim v'nazom liyada. It's an umdana, says Tosfos. She doesn't have it in mind. To be miskadeshes until she gets it. But the Tosfos says it more fundamentally. V'od al mari, v'nira lo ikr. D'afilu shneim rotzim. Even if they both say it b'feirish. We're mukudeshes with the money that I owed you and now you're mochel to me. Tosfos' first day is that mistama, she's not assuming it's going to work until she gets it back. Then Tosfos says, even if they both agree, still it's not going to work. Not going to work because it's not halachically considered anything. Go to the last three lines. The kibon she'ein yachola tof up b'din scharo ashi yegi mamal liyada ve'ein chashuv kinosin laklum b'tchilaso ashi tavo shash yachola tof up b'din. Meaning, it's not halachically considered something of value. So either way, the Gemara Tosfos explains the Gemara. It can't be that he gives her nothing. So that can't be what the Chachamim mean. So Ela Pshita my mama mamon acher. So what must the Rabbanan be saying? The Rabbanan are saying the whole thing doesn't work. The Rabbanan is saying he has to give her something else. And Remeir says no, just getting this item back. So Visavruha. And the Havamina here is Dekula Yalma. A couple of Shas topics here. Yeshna Liskiris Mitchila Vatsov. Everybody holds that when you do a job, then it's as if little by little it's owed after every prut is worth of work. It's owed and it becomes a milveh. Dukule al mamakadish b'milveinim kodashis. And everybody agrees that you can't be mikadashis through a loan that is owed. So my love, if everybody agrees to those two elements, so what's the machlokas tanaim here? So my love, du'una kona b'shvak lika miflagi, is in the machlokas about this. Rabbi Meir saw, you know why Rabbi Meir says it works? Because when the uman makes the kli, it's as if he owns it. When he gives it back to the woman, he's giving her something of his own. Uma kona b'shvak kli. V'rabbanan sabri, and the Rabbanan say, no way! It always belongs to the woman. That's why he's not giving her anything of his own. Einu makona bishvakli. Isn't that a machlokas? So as the Gemaras always do, the Gemara says, doesn't everybody agree to A, B, and C, and they argue about D? So now the Gemara goes through, no, maybe it's a machlokas about A, maybe it's a machlokas about B, maybe it's a machlokas about C. That's what the Gemara does now. No, the Guliyama, einu makona bishvakli. It could be everybody argues with Ravasi. Ela hacha b'yeshen l'skiyas b'tchida basoka milvagi. The machlokas is if this is a case of milve. If, as he works every day after he does a prutas worth of work, so is that considered owed yet, or is it only at the end? Rabbi Meir Savar ein l'skiyas ela l'basof. It's only at the end, and therefore it's one package, it never turns into a milve. At the end is right now she pays for it. Rabbanan Tzavri, Yesh L'Skiris, Mitzchila Batsof. Rabbanan Tzavri, no, it's owed each moment, and therefore this is called the case of Milveh. And a Mekadish Memilveh, Eina Mekudashes. Number one, the Rishonim, the Tosas Rid, this comes up in Kiddushin too, the same type of Gemara. Tosas Rid in Kiddushin Memches wonders why, even according to Rabbi Meir, why doesn't the last Pruta, is that good enough? If the Rabbanan agreed that the last thing is okay, it's not called a milveh, so even according to Rabbi Meir, the last pruta should be good enough. So he discusses why that does not work. The other Rishonim also. So maybe the machlokas is about schiris. Or everybody agrees it turns into a milveh. The machlokas is whether you could be miskadeshes with being nimchal money that's owed. Rabbi Meir saw Rabbi Mechadish b'milveh mikudeshes. That's why it works. Rabbanan tzari Mechadish b'milveh ain't mikudeshes. So maybe it's a machlokas about Uman Kona Mishvakli. Maybe it's a machlokas about Yeshen L'Skiris Mitzchila Vatsof. Maybe it's a machlokas about HaMekadish B'Milveh. That's three. Number four. Rava Amar. Dekoli Amar Yeshen L'Skiris Mitzchila Vatsof. Everybody says it turns into a milveh. Udekoli Amar HaMekadish B'Milveh Einim Kodeshes. So it can't work through just that. Udekoli Amar Ein Uman Kona Mishvakli. So on all counts, it shouldn't work. So why does Rav Meir say it works? The Shulchan Aruch, by the way, paskins ein uman kona mishvakli in Simon Shin Vav. So the Gemara says, Ella hachal mayaskinan goncha hosif la nofach mishalo. What if the worker himself added in some materials? She gave him, but he also added in a nofach mishalo. So some of this is a milveh, but some of this is what we call a pruta. Some of this is from his own. So, what is her das? Rabbi Meir Savar, Milveh Upruta Daita Apruta. Rabbi Meir says, when a man gives a woman a milveh, a mechilas milveh, and a pruta, her das is on the pruta, so the marriage works. For Rabbanan Savri, Milveh Upruta Daita Apruta. And Rabbanan say no. And if you remember, this was Gufa, one of the pshatim of the machlokas between Shaul and David. The Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses, right, there was a whole mix-up. You read the Psukim in Navi, you need the Rishonim to understand what's going on. Right? Michal was supposed to be, or Meirav was supposed to be David's wife, and then all of a sudden, you thought that he was married to Meirav, and then all of a sudden, Meirav was given to someone else, and then he's married to Michal, which is Achos Isha B'chayeha. So how could he be married to two different sisters? So, there's a whole discussion. Well, maybe the marriage originally didn't work, and that's why Shaul gave it to someone else, because he thought that Milveh Pruta was the Milveh Pruta. He owed David money for killing Goliath, and also David had foreskins of the Plishtin that he was giving to Shaul as the father of his Kala. So, Daita Pruta, Milveh Pruta, Daita Pruta, Daita Milveh, that says, suggests the Gemara, the machlokas between Dov and Shaul in Sanhedrin on Daf Yud Tes Amid Beis, if one wants to see it there. But either way, that's the fourth pshat of what the machlokas here is. And now, once we bring out that fourth pshat, we say, Ubit Plukta Tani Tanoi. And this machlokas about Milveh Pruta is also the basis for the following machlokas tanoim. Ditanya, the Brisa says, Bischarsha sisi imach in mukudeshes. If a man says to a woman, I'm going to do work or I have done work. So if he says, I'm married to you based on the work that I've already done for you, in mukudeshes, that doesn't work. That's in the past tense. Bischarsha esemcha mukudeshes. But if he says, I'm going to do work for you today and that work has a dollar value on it, so that is what I'm marrying you with, that works. Tanakama. Rabbi Nassan Omer, Bischar she'esemcha eina mekudeshes, v'kol she'kein bischar she'asizi imcha. Rabbi Nassan says, no, neither work, even if he says it about the future. So the Tanakama has a chilek. Rabbi Nassan says they both don't work. For Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Omer, be'emes amru, bein bischar she'asizi imcha, bein bischar she'esemcha eina mekudeshes. So far, like Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Nassan said they both don't work. But he adds, Vim Hosef Lanofek Mishalo Mikudeshes. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi adds, but if he added on something of his own, Mikudeshes. So says the Gemara, Bein Tanakama L'Rabbi Nasan, between Shita A and B, Igimanaus Hiras. That's a big difference. That's the difference. The Tanakhama says, if he says, Bishar she'esem, it works. Meaning, schirus works. Right? That's the, while the Rabbi Nassan says no. Ben Rabbi Nassan, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Ika Benayu, Milva Pruta. Because he was Mosif and Nofach Mishalo. So there's a Milva and a Pruta, and the Machlokas is Daita Milva or Daita Pruta. Good. And what's, again, the svar for this machlokas, is it based on an umdana, what the woman really has in mind, or is it something more fundamental? That if there's a milveh involved, that might color the entire gift, even if some of it should work, and it's more integrated, and that's why it could be a problem. Right? So that's a discussion in the mefarshim. Okay, next section of the Gemara. Getting back to Uman. Omer Shmuel. Tabach Uman Shekilko. What if you have an expert shochet? Expert. Chayiv l'shalim. He has to pay. Maziku, posheahu, he's a mazik, he's negligent, naasek omer lo, shcholi mikan, v'shachalo mikan, it's as if the hirer, right, the balabai, says, you know, shech me from here, and you shechted me from there. Meaning, you didn't do what was proper. So Shmuel basically says he's chayiv in four different ways. So why does he have to have such a verbose, statement that he's, keeps, phrase after phrase after phrase? Just say he's chayiv. Lomeli l'meimer maziku posheahu. What do you have to have those two phrases for? So I amar maziku. If he only said he's a mazik, ha va'amina hanimi lehecha dekavid b'schar. I would have thought that's only if he was a paid worker. If he's a paid worker, if he was like a shomer sachar level, so then that's why only if he is a mazik, that's where he always has to pay. Avalecha dekavid b'china. But if he would be an unhired, if he would be a free volunteering shochet. Expert shochet, so lo, maybe I would have said that he's not chayiv if he messes up. Mazik is chayiv, but a posheya is not chayiv. And shomer chid, he's not a posheya here, and a shomer chid is only chayiv for pshia. Kamash bolan posheya hu. That's what uses the extra lashon, that even if he was not been hired, he's doing it for free, he's still going to be chayiv. We're not going to get into now the sugya of the sheet of the Rambam and Hilchas Schiris, where he has the lashon of posheya kemazik. That's a big discussion, but just be aware of that in Schiris Perak Beis. Okay, that's Shmuel. So if you hire out an expert shochet, he's going to be chayiv. So Eisvei Rav Chama Bar Gur Yolish Shmuel. So Rav Chama asked Shmuel, Hanosein Behemel Atabach and Nivla Uman Patur Hed Yod Chayiv. Shmuel says if you give it to a shochet and he messes it up, an Uman's going to be Patur. Only a Hed Yod's going to be chayiv. Why is an expert going to be Patur? If an expert messes up, it must have been an Ones. Must have been like, what? That's so unusual. It must have been an Ones. But if he paid for it, because then he has accepted a higher obligation of responsibilities, he's going to be chayiv. But kasha, how could, right, Rav Chama Bar Gur Yeish Shmuel, that you see from this brisa, that if you give it to an expert, the expert's patur. Amar le lechar mochech. What does that mean? Your brain should be lechar, should become dirty and muddled, and you shouldn't think clearly. It's kind of like, stop it, don't ask me these questions. Lechar mochek, right? The Shin Lukubetzes has a lashon here, ein lecha moach, very strong. But either way, he's very upset. The Chazon Ish quotes in one place, here in Bava Kamma, that maybe he saw that he had a raw gaiva in him, and he was asking the question in from an inappropriate vantage point. Okay, in any case, it's a very sharp line. Lechar mochek. All of a sudden, asa humi rabbanan kamosavle. Some other rabbi come and ask him the same kasha. So Amalei Hasha Shakal Madashakal Chavrach. You know, go take what your friend just took. Meaning the same thing. But what's the answer? The answer is Kamina Lachu Anar Rabbi Meir the Kamrusili Rabbanan. You're telling me, right, Rabbanan Shita. I'm telling you, Rabbi Meir Shita. Which Rabbi Meir? Which Rabbanan? We'll have to see. Amaylo Diakta Mili Shani Omer. Why didn't you focus on what I said? Maziku Posheahu Nasak Omer Lo Shchol Mikan V'Shachol Mikan. That was the lashon. Manisli Hai Svara. Who is the one that has such a svara that if the worker does something wrong, he's chayev? Rabbi Meir. To Amar Miboy Lo Rabbi Anashe. Rabbi Meir is the one that says the worker has to focus very hard, and if he does it, he's going to be chayev. That's chayev. That's the. Who I was talking about. You're telling me from a brisa that's Rabbanan Shita? So which Rabbanan are we talking about? And by the way, we started off with this today, now we're going to end off with this today soon. Everybody seems to be agreeing here that if it was really an Ones, according to the Rabbanan, then you'd be Pater. Why Ones Gomer Adam Mu'ad La'olam? So just like we started off with the Machlokas Tosas and the Rabban, Tosas says here, there's another riot to me. Onis Gamer, you're Potter, even by Adam Amazik. The Ramban says here is different because he was a Shomer. A Shomer has different rules than a regular Mazik. Right? That's how the Ramban reads this Gemara. He says, this Gemara sounds like it's against me. I say Adam with all of even by Onis Gamer, but Shomer is different. Good. So, hey, Rabbi Meir. So, which Rabbi Meir are we talking about that Shmuel says, oh, Rabbi Meir is the one that says you have a higher responsibility, and you're bringing me a brisa for the Rabbanan? So, Ilei Mahar Rabbi Meir, is it the Rabbi Meir we had back earlier, Ditznan, back on the Mishnah on Daf Mem Hey, said the Mishnah there, if you remember, Kashu Bala Mamosei Rav and Albafan of Karoi, I have an animal, and I put a regular, a fine, good fence in front of the animal, that any normal wind wouldn't break it down. The yatz of a hizik, and he went out. Bein tam bein muad, chayiv divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, both by tam and by muad, you require shmira ma'ula, not shmira p'chusa, not basic shmira. So is that the Rabbi Meir being referred to? That you have to have high responsibility? Hasa b'kroi pligi. But the Gemara there is not based on svaras, it's based on psukim. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda really even had the opposite that we would have thought, that a muad requires shmira p'husa and a tam shmira ma'ula. So that can't be a machlokas, which we are relating here. So Elohol Rimeir must be the following Rimeir, the son, the Mishnah on Tamar's daf. Litzvalo Adam, Mitzavo Shachar, Shachar, Mitzavo Adam. You hired him to make it red and he made it black or vice versa. Rimeir Omer, Nosin Lo Demet Simro. He has to pay for the Semer. And he should have focused on what he was doing. So where it says, Hasan Biadayim Kolumine. There he was, Mazik Biadayim. We're talking about a case where it happened Memewa. There he actively did something wrong. So again, it's not a parallel. Rashi, niskaven lishanos. He had a kavana to be mishana there. He had kavana to a shchita. So Ella Har Meir, third try. This Rabbi Meir, ditznan, or ditanya, this is the brisa earlier. Nishbra kado in hameniach. Nishbra kado velo silka. If I'm walking in the street and my kad fell down and broke and I did not remove it right away. Nafla gamba velo emido, or my camel, and then somebody tripped on it and got injured. Rabbi Meir Omer, Chayev ben Iskan. Rabbi Meir says, you're Chayev there in the Nezek. You should have warned them. You should have gotten rid of it quickly. The Chacham Omer, Patu Medini Adam, Chayev din Ishamayim. The Chayim Alon, and the Gemara there said earlier, Tebe Niskal Poshehu Pligi. The Machlokas here is whether a Niskal, somebody who tripped, is considered negligent. Rabbi Meir says, yes, that's the Rabbi Meir. Shmuel says that I'm referring to here, that even if an expert shochet shechs, he's chayev. You're talking about the Rabbanan Shita, who would say that it is not true. Period. A little more. Omer Abarachanan, Rabbi Yochanan, Tabachum and Shekel Kachayev. Rabbi Yochanan also, an expert shochet that messes up his chayev. V'yafilu hu uman kitabchi tzipori. Even if he's a super duper shochet, like there were expert shochtim in Tzipori, up north. So Rabbi Yochanan says, Pater, well, Miyamar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, does Rabbi Yochanan really say this? Viyamar Rabbi Rachana Uvda Havi Kamed Rabbi Yochanan Beknishta de Ma'on. There was a story in the Beis Knesses in Ma'on, Va'amar Le Zil I see Raya de Mimchas Latana Golem, the Iftarech. And Rabbi Yochanan said to the Shochet, bring me a Raya that you are an expert Shochet, and I'll make you putter. So you see from Rabbi Yochanan, if he's an expert, you'd be putter. Lo Kasha Kan Bechinam Kan Bischar. It depends if he was did it for free, then he'd be putter. Lower responsibility. Don't take people for free, because that's a lower responsibility. If they're paid, then it's a higher responsibility. Not only a higher responsibility halachically, if you're a member, when somebody is paid for a job, they take it more seriously, they maybe will do a better job. We had in Achovel, don't take a doctor for free, because a doctor for free is not worth anything, the Gemara said. Always, because when somebody's paid, they taken more seriously. And the Achronim, it's the Raivin. The Raivin quotes here, the Kasha, I see, why would he have to bring a Raya that he is a Shochet Mumchet? Don't you say, Hamotzi Mechaver Lov Araya? You prove to me that I'm not a Shochet Mumchet, and I'll pay you. Hamotzi Mechaver Lov Araya, says the Raivin. So you have to say somehow, the Raivin says, really there's a Cheskas Chiyav here. And there's a Reyasa that has been created. Says the Raivin here, and with this we'll finish. Says the Ravid Vakashalon, Iutinas Bari Amar de Mumcha, Mos Mechaber Lov Araya, the Eagle of Amar, Tahu Tabcha Have, the Mumcha Have made the Yada. So the Ravid says, no. If he was an expert, there would have been a call. Everybody would know that he was an expert. So there's a Reyasa in his claim, and that's why it's different. Rabbi Chanan asked the same Kasha as the Ravid, and the Achronim have different answers. Maybe there's a Vadai Chiyav here, and there's a Safek Ptur. If he was an expert, then he has a tour of the Chiyav. So maybe you don't say it must be a chaver l'avraya in this type of case, where it's note on the chayiv case. Okay, we'll stop here by the meisvei. We will continue tomorrow with Daf Kuf in Maseches Baba Kama.